Struggle. How many spot the devil today?
Yeah. Well,
praise the Lord. We're on the right side then, amen. You know, it's whenever things are going smooth and everything's going good, that's when you probably need to worry. That's the devil's right. Got you right where he needs you then. But tell you what, we got something worth fighting for.
Amen.
You see a lot of things in this life, people are fighting for things that don't really matter. You know, they want to keep that $1 million house, the $1 million boat, the $1 million this. And they want to hold on to those things and fight for that all they've got. And when they die, they can't take it with them. You know, you can come naked in this world, they'll leave naked.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. I don't want to take up too much time tonight, so I'll tell you what. Let's make an agreement. I'll give 100% if you give 100%.
Amen.
And we'll do that. And I heard a preacher say one time, he said, the best thing for a preacher to know is know when to get up, speak up, and shut up. So I want to be able to do that. I want to get up. I want to speak up. And if he wants me to be quiet, I want to be quiet. So I do thank everybody for your sacrifices of coming to the house of the Lord tonight. I believe the Lord is faithful. And and if we come expecting, he'll give us exactly what we come expecting for. Is that right?
Amen.
I believe she's got the scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. She's got it on the multimedia. For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, what they're talking about is we don't want to compare ourselves with the person beside us and say, you know what, I must be doing pretty good because I'm doing the same as this brother or I'm doing better than this brother beside us. But, you know, Brother Branham said, he says, you don't even follow me. He said, you follow Christ.
Amen.
And anytime you see the man get out of the way, he said, you keep following the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Go to one more scripture. It's in the St. John chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know that I just want to commit this whole service to you, Lord. I want to be in tune with you, Heavenly Father. Lord, let me not say anything out of tone, Lord, but everything exactly the way you want it said. Lord, touch every heart here tonight. I know they're maybe tired in body, God, from the labors today. Lord Jesus, and I remember the prophet saying, where there's no sacrifice, there's no blessing. Lord, I ask you to bless every heart that's here tonight with your presence and your fellowship. In Jesus' name. He can be seated. I'll have to read one more scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I've got one quote I'd want to read. And we'll get right into the service. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down on his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared with the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it a strange thing that God wants to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. We all have tried and chastened us sons. Not one goes through that. If the church is not suffering, it's not being tried. Hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Church is going to be fighting trials. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we as individuals, we're going to be fighting trials. We're going to be fighting battles. And, you know, we read the scripture where it says that we shouldn't ever try to start commending ourselves with the ones around us, but we should be seeking the truth. And as an individual, watching that truth, and we will begin to grow more and more like the Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
But see, in the man in his flesh, he has a natural thing in him. He wants to blend in and just be like the ones around him. You know, one of the biggest things that's led for a lot of failures of going into drugs, into premarital sex and all these different things is peer pressure. Peer pressure is a great and strong and powerful thing. It's something called influence.
Yeah.
How many knows that we influence everybody we are around and we are influenced? Is that right?
Right.
That means that the way we conduct ourselves and the people that we hang around, the way they conduct ourselves, we're going to rub off on one another. I remember when we had the hog farm, people used to always say it smells like money. I never reached that point. It smelled pretty bad, being on the premises of the hog farm. But you know what? Whenever you was at that hog farm, you didn't have to convince anybody that you had been there. You smelled like it. And you know what? I can talk with a mouthful of good words, a showing of how I have been in the presence of those honeysuckles. I can say, oh, I've been in the presence of all these honeysuckles, and it smells so wonderful. And it was so, you just are submerged by the honeysuckles, the smell. You smell so well. And the whole time they're sitting here talking to me, I stink like a hog farm. Now, which one do you think is going to bleed over more into their belief system? Do you think they're going to believe what I'm saying or what they're smelling?
Right.
No, a lot of times we say we've got the greatest thing in the earth, which is the message of the hour. And I believe that we do, don't you?
Yes.
And you know, in our influences with one another and influences with the world, we have to rub shoulders with the world. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Brother Tony, we got to go to work. We got to rub shoulders with the world. We got to talk with people that sometimes we prefer not to be around. Brother Richard, you know what I'm talking about? There's many times you go to, there's nothing you can do. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, perhaps we're rugged with the hog farmer. And we get a little bit of that hog farm on top of us. And you know, and we can't help that. You're living this life, you're going to rub shoulders with that. But you know what? That's why we have to, throughout the day, seek God and say, Lord, cleanse me. Throughout the day, we have to look to the Word and say, Lord, pull me to that.
Amen.
Pull me to the Word. Don't let me blend with these other guys, because you know what? If you get into a room of a bunch of hog farmers, and I'm not trying to put down hog farmers tonight, but if you get into a room one full of hog farmers, you know what? You will get immune to the smell.
Yeah.
And you will no longer even smell that stench that at one time stunk in your nostrils.
Right.
At one time, you could enter the presence of that and it would make you sick at your stomach. But because you're around it so much, you're around it and you become desensitized
right.
to the smell. And that's the way the devil works with us. We have to walk through this world. We have to rub shoulders with the world. And see, the devil tries so hard while you're at school, while you're at work, while you're doing the things you have to do, grocery shopping. You rub shoulders with the world. The devil wants to desensitize you. Where at one time, when you went into certain shopping malls, it would check your spirit and say, I cannot go there. The Holy Ghost would check you when you go there. How many knows what I'm talking about? You go down the mall, when you go into the mall, they've got this one store, I don't even know what the name of it is, but it stinks. You can smell the fragrance from here to outside. It's so strong. When you're walking up, and they've got pictures of filth, no clothes on, okay? When you walk up there, the Holy Ghost will check you. Say, no way, I'm not going there.
That's right.
It'll check you. The Holy Ghost inside you will check you. Do you believe that? The Holy Ghost will check you on the inside. He will guide you into all truth. He will keep you in truth. We need a God tonight.
Amen.
We need the Holy Ghost to lead us. But see, what the devil will do is throughout the times, not just one time, of several different times you go there, at one time you can come a certain range of that store and you say, I can't go any closer because that's filth. It checks my spirit. But see, time after time after time, you will get closer and closer and closer. And the next thing you know, you're inside the store.
Right.
What happened? You were in the midst of hog farmers too long. You got desensitized.
Right.
That's the way the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to, or the devil wants to do. He wants to desensitize us to the checking of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
See, that's what the devil wants. Listen, when you're at school, you know, when you're at work, you need to seek God. Don't commend yourself with your friends. Don't think you're okay because you're not doing what certain ones are doing. We have to be in tune with our tutor. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Branham talked about how that we would have a tutor that the father was going to bring his son to an adoption. Okay, the father wants to bring his son to his adoption. He's already a son, but he is as a servant because he has not come to a position of adoption. So what this father will do, he will hire a tutor. He will get this tutor. Let's say that the father has got a carpentry business. He's got a carpentry business, and he knows how to swing the hammer, and he wants the son to swing the hammer the same way that he swings the hammer. Amen? That's his tutor.
Right.
And this tutor that he gets, the tutor's not going to come and bring different ideas. The tutor's not going to have his own line of things. That tutor's going to be in the same mind as what that father is. And that son will be, that tutor will begin to work with that son and teach that son and show him, this is the way you hold the hammer. This is the way you do it. And he'll report back to that father. And he'll say, he's doing good. And you know, he's struggling. He's not paying attention. He'll report back and forth. You have to be in tune with your tutor. We need a tutor tonight. Can you say amen?
That's right.
That tutor will lead and guide him. But you see, that tutor, whenever I was working in the Hickory Springs, we had a big old truck, semi-trucks that we would load. And those comfy seats that you're sitting on, I've stacked too many of those. Those little foams, we actually poured the foam, and I would actually load those inside trailers. We would have to, my job was, I worked from the bandsaw, but the other part of it was loading. I would load all these things inside this truck. And one by one, I'd load them inside there. And I had an inspector that would actually come in and inspect the truck after I had it all finished. And if everything was not in its place, I had to pull everything out and then do it all over again. And sometimes that wasn't a very pleasant feeling. And it's over 100 degrees outside, and I've worked really hard on doing this, but it's got to be right. Because once it's right, they can shut those doors. They had a gold seal that they put. They take that seal and stick to that door and cinch it shut, and nobody can open that door until it reached its destination. See, God is working on us. He wants to seal us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God wants to seal us. But see, He can't seal you if you've got a bunch of loose things in your life. God can't seal you if you're going to a bunch of places you're not supposed to go. God can't seal you if we've got that temper that keeps flaring up. God can't seal you if you're not ready to follow leadership. You know, today, that's the devil's fighting so hard is people don't respect leadership anymore. People don't respect headship anymore. If you're in the workplace, they don't respect the management. If you're in the homes, a lot of the children around don't respect their parents anymore. Am I telling the truth?
Right.
It's everywhere. And we have to rub shoulders with that. In the same way that I was saying that Brother Richard, Brother Tony, and myself, we have to go, and we're going to the workforce. We have to rub shoulders all the time. Rub shoulders. Nothing you can do. Kids at school, they're going to be rebellious and do these things. When you go and you rub shoulders with that, there's nothing you can do. You've got to do it. You've got to live this life. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Is that right? But see, we have to have something we can tie back to, friends. We've got a guide that can lead us into truth. We've got a guide that will take us back to the Word. And I'm going somewhere with this. Just pull with me, okay? We have to have a God that we can follow. Brother Branham talked about on this God, on the God trips, he would take them on a guided hunt. He said they would get their social security number and all these different things, and they would give everything to this God. And this God was responsible for them. That means if anything happened to them, it was on his shoulders because he was the God. He was the one responsible to them. And the same thing, Brother Branham talked about how that there was a man that said, you know what, I don't need a God. I can be just as much of a God as he can. I can go in the woods. I am just as broad a shouldered as he is. Who does this guy think he is? A lot like people think a lot of times. Who does this preacher think he is? Think he's going to tell me how to do? And this guy felt the same way about this God. He said, you know what? I don't need a God. I can go out in that woods. I can do it. I can take my son out. I can teach him out in the wilderness. I am just as good of a God as he is. That's what the man thought. And the man took his son with him. And they went way up on top of the mountain. But you see, a part of a guide's job is you need to be able to look at the climate changes. And when you see climate changes, you know what to do on certain circumstances. Brother Branham talked about how it'd be so cold sometimes he'd climb up and down a tree over and over and over again. Why would he do that? Because he was so cold, he needed something to warm his body up. Rather than run around frantic and being afraid, and getting freezing dead and getting real sick, he knew what to do because he was trained. And he would climb up and down this tree, up and down this tree, tired without a doubt, but to keep him alive. He talked about how that they'd build a fire and they'd put dirt over that fire and you could lay on top of that dirt and keep warm. See, part of a guide's job is you're able to look at the weather conditions and know what to do. You're able to keep track and know what position you are.
to know where you don't get lost in the woods. And this man, he said, you know what, I don't need a guide. I can take my son with me. We'll go up here and we'll be fine. And come on, son, you can go with me. Many times you got a lot of fathers out there nowadays. They'll take their kids to the ball games and different things like that. Come on, son, we don't have to listen to that. We can go on Sunday. Right. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to church all the time. Look at all these people out here. They don't go to church all the time, but you know what? They're just as good of Christians as we are. We're just as good as they are. You know what he's doing? He's contending himself with the people around him.
That's right.
He's looking around him and saying, you know what? I can be. We're just like them. There's nothing wrong with that. These are good people. You can be a good old boy and go to hell.
That's right.
We've got to have the Holy Ghost. Is that right? You need to be born again. He says, son, don't worry about that, all that nonsense on those things. He said, it don't matter what you really believe. As long as we believe Jesus is the Lord, that's all we got to have. How many people say that today?
Right.
You don't need a prophet's message. As long as we're Christians, as long as we're honest in our heart, as long as we believe God, as long as we read our Bible, you know, as long as we do these things, we're going to be just as good as they are. It ain't got nothing to do about being as good as we need rapturing faith. And that's what a prophet's message for, is rapturing faith. Because see, a guide is there for when a sudden change takes place, you need to be ready to take that change. And you need to know what direction to turn to. And he told his son, he said, come on, son, we're going to go up here. He said, don't worry about that, all that nonsense. He said, I know they said you got to have a guide. I know they said all those things, but we don't need that. You just come on with me. Daddy will show the way. He takes him up there, and without a doubt, they're going over the mountains, and they're looking, and they see the eagles out there, and they stumble on maybe some deer and different things. But they're so caught up in their surroundings, they didn't even realize they had signs of a storm fixing to come, a sudden storm. Not a storm like we see here. But we're saying, and we're talking just a few minutes. They had snow so thick they couldn't see 10 feet in front of them. He was so caught up with the things around him, he wasn't even ready for the change.
Right.
He had his son with him, his little boy. And all of a sudden, the sudden change started happening, and before he could even think about what to do, it was right up on top of him. He was on the mountain, had an opportunity for a guide. Time after time after time again, the guide was there offering his services to him. You professional guide that know where they're going. And this snowstorm comes on, and he said, Oh, Johnny, come on, son, I'll get us out of here. And he tries taking him, and he tries running, and rather than trying to get him to climb up a tree or try to warm his body up, they hunkered down by an old tree and sat there and froze to death. A father sitting there holding his little boy, that little boy without a doubt, scared, cold, and he had full confidence in daddy. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Spiritually, think about it, friends. Spiritually, had full confidence in daddy. And he looked at him and he said, oh, daddy, I'm cold. Daddy, I'm scared. Oh, son, don't worry. It'll pass. Don't worry, son. It's going to pass. We're going to be okay. Don't worry. It just gets colder and colder and colder. And next thing you know, he's shaking. He says, Johnny, what's wrong? Johnny had passed away. And then next time, daddy passed away. We need a God.
Yeah.
We need to be ready, because I'm going to tell you what, there's a sudden change that's going to take place. And if you're thinking spiritually, you know what I'm talking about. There's a rapture going to take place. Sudden change. I had a dream one time years ago. And at first, was coming to the message, and the Lord was showing me. And the Lord had shown me how serious it was, and how it would be such a... And I'm not trying to make this a spiritual thing as far as dreams. It's only how the Lord can sure wake you up with a dream sometimes. Anybody ever had a dream shake you up? So I'm not trying to make this a spiritual thing, but this, just to make a point across. In this dream, I remember I was coming, and I was really flirting on whether I really wanted to give everything to God, whether I didn't. Do I want to give everything to God? Do I not? And that's the way it is when you first start out. But I remember I kept flirting with it, and in my dream, I knew it was time it was time. It was rapture time. And I said, I'm going to hurry up and repent right now. And I went to go drop on my knees. And before I could even hit my knees, it was over. It was that fast. How many times, how many people are going to be surprised with that moment? How many times people are going to say, you know what, I heard it over and over and over again. I need to line up.
I heard it over and over again. I need to seek God. I need to get that Holy Ghost. But I waited. And I neglected. And then whenever I tried to hurt, drop to my knees and make things right, it was over. We need a God tonight, amen? Don't contend ourselves with the world. Don't make ourselves compare ourselves to people around us, and even in our church.
Right.
Not even with your pastor. And say, you know what, my pastor or my preacher, line it up with the Word. Amen. We look at the Word. Because as long as your pastor is walking in the Word, he'll be right in tune with you. Is that right?
Right.
And Brother Tony, what we want is to check us with the Word. Is that right?
Right.
That's right. We do.
Praise the Lord.
Following this message, it does bring suffering sometimes. So much, many times, as far as friendships. You'd love to have a friend or a buddy that you can hang out with and have friends with, but you can only walk so far before you realize two can't walk together except they agree.
That's right.
You ever seen a dove and a crow out there fellowshipping, having dinner together? Having a feast? Or a turkey? If you did, it's because maybe the turkey's trying to take over the seeds he's at. I don't know, if you watch very long, they ain't really fellowship and the turkey's trying to run him off. We have a natural part of us. We want fellowship. And we want friends. We have a natural ability. Am I telling the truth? We got a natural thing about us. We want friends. But I'm telling you, friends, you need to make sure that your friend is walking toward the Lord. Because if he's not, you're going to start cutting some ties. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, the Lord had showed me very clearly, if you're going to walk with me, you're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to sanctify. You're going to have to start cleansing. It's good to ask God for forgiveness. If we ask God for forgiveness, praise God.
Amen.
That's good. That's a good step. That's like taking the glass out of a chicken barn. It's dirty. It's nasty. You pull them out of the chicken barn and you're starting to wash them up. But you know what? You can't. How would you like to take that glass out of the chicken barn and fill it up with some water and get you a drink? So here, Dylan, I want you to drink this. This is good. This is good stuff. You would want to do that. You want to clean that thing up. Is that right? You want to wash that glass up. And that's the way it is with us. You know, when you come to the Lord and you ask Him God for forgiveness, that's a great step. That's a great step. But you've got to start cleaning. You've got to start taking the Word and start cleaning. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? It's where you're taking the Word and you're seeking the Lord and you're saying, God, I want to be clean. I want to be set aside for service. I want to be used by you, Lord. Work with me. Who wants to be used by the Lord? I want to be used by the Lord.
Amen.
But this is the way it is. God can't use you if you're a dirty glass. God can't use you if you're stinking like a hog barn and say, you want to start talking about honeysuckles. I know us brothers don't want to smell like honeysuckles, probably. Something a little bit more masculine. But just as an example, we got to cleanse ourselves. We got accepting the Lord in your life, that's a wonderful step. Praise God for it. Praise God.
Right.
You know, receiving water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, praise God. That's wonderful. Because when you do that, you're taking on, you're telling the world, that's your confession to the world, I have accepted Jesus Christ. I've received water baptism. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. But you've got to keep moving on. You've got to start cleansing. Start taking that Word and start applying it to your life. And start washing and say, Lord, help me know the truth. Help me to know truth, God, where you can work in my life. Help me, God, to get my life in a way where you can use me. I want to be used by the Lord. Because I'm telling you what, true victory comes when you can serve one another.
Right.
When you can serve one another. You start going through your battle, you start praying for someone that's got that same battle. And see if God don't help you. You start having trouble with math, you start praying with somebody that's having trouble with math. And see if God don't help you with that. Start having trouble with your finances, start praying for somebody that's having trouble with your finances. See if God don't move those mountains. A lot of times when we go to praying for one or praying, we can consume ourselves with our own battles. Hello?
That's right.
When you're praying, you say, Lord, I this, me this, I this, I've got this, I've got that. And have you ever noticed when you pray for yourself, it's hard to get answers sometimes? I can pray for some people and see absolute healings take place. See just miraculous things and have something of the exact same thing in my own body or in my own life. Try to pray for that thing. It's like talking to that wall. That's why whenever you pray for one another, we are as a body, we are to serve one another.
Right.
My heart serves the rest of my body. My kidneys serve the rest of my body. My liver serves the rest of my body. But you don't see any of those things, do you? How many took your liver out and gave it just a good handshake today? So you know what, Mr. Liver, it's been good. How many of us done it? Anybody do that today? Pull out your kidneys? So you know, how's your kidney doing? Mine's doing good. Look at this one. Never seen it. Never talk about it. Never acknowledge it. But it's just as important as the rest of the body. As a matter of fact, it's more important. I could lose my finger. I could still live. Not very good. Lose my toe, I may still live. I've learned how to walk again. I hope I never do. Lose my finger or my toe, I like them. But you know what? You see these very often. How many times people see your hands? See your face, your eyeballs? How many times people see that? Quite a bit, right? Those are important. Those are important parts of the body. But you know what? There are other parts of your body that are just as important, or more important. That's your kidney, your liver, your heart. People never see them. They never get glory. I mean, out of all honesty, how often do you really talk about, I sure am thankful I've got good kidneys? Never talk about it. And that's the way a lot of times, a lot of members maybe in the congregation are. You never see them very much, as far as up front. They don't get talked about very much. Their name don't get brought up very much. But they are more important than what a finger is. And their service is more important. I want to be contend for my heart of service. Where my position, I may be just a kidney, but I'm going to be the best kidney I can possibly be. Amen? I want to be the best heart that I can possibly be. I want to be the best liver I can possibly be. So Brother Daniel, come on, where are you going with this stuff? We need to know our position, amen?
Right.
Know our position in Christ. You may be a prayer warrior in the church, but I'm telling you what, that is the most important part in the service, is prayer warriors in a church. You know, my first position in the church, as far as people seeing, I was the doorman of the church. It's out of Kyoto, Oklahoma. I was a prayer warrior in the church, and I'll tell you what, I would fast every day for church. I'd fast, and I'd pray for the service. Because I wanted to receive the full capacity of Christ that I could possibly receive. And I had this yearning on the inside of me. I want to be used by the Lord. I just want to be used by Him. I was seeking the Lord. I said, God, I really want to use You. Really want to be used by You in some way. And I knew I wasn't going to preach. No way. I don't want that. Let me be a service. Let me do something for the Lord. And I got an opportunity to be the doorman of the church. And my job, this was my job, my title, okay, this is mine. My job was to stay prayed up. And when people come to the door, I would open that door. I'd stick my hand out and I'd say, God bless you. And I would make that God bless you the most powerful God bless you you could possibly do. You suppose, Daniel, that's so simple. I knew I could change their lives, their whole attitude for the service, with my attitude. I would say, God, let me be so anointed. When I shake their hand, may they feel the presence of God from it. And they'd come up there, and I'd see some of them with a grumble face. Maybe they'd been fighting battles. Maybe the battery went dead on the car. Maybe they burnt the eggs. Maybe they did all these different things, and they're frustrated, and nobody likes burnt eggs, and everybody hates dead batteries. Right? They have to rub shoulders with the world. Nothing they can do about it. They've got to do it. But they'd come in there disgruntled and everything, but I was at my position faithful. I'd prayed up. I was fasted up. I was ready to go. I said, God, I'm at my post of duty. God bless you. And I'd see that frown and go, well, God bless you, Brother Daniel. I said, we get to be at church again today. Like, you're right. We get to be at church again today. And they'd come in there, and we'd tell you what, we'd have service. But my position was a doorman of the church. My position started as I was a prayer warrior. I said, you know, I'm going to be the best prayer warrior I can do. I'm going to change people's lives. I'm going to change people's attitudes. How am I going to do that? I'm going to be prayed up. I'm going to be read up. I'm going to be ready to give a testimony. Scripture says you should be ready to give a testimony. Is that right? We should be ready to give someone the grace that God's given in our lives. That's right. That's what Scripture says.
Right.
We as individuals, you want to be a powerhouse? That's how we do it, friends. It's where we are prayed up and say, God, I want to be a faithful supplier. If my brother Ben comes through here and he's got need and his battery went dead on the four-wheeler and he's disgruntled just a little bit, he's a little frustrated because now he's got to wait for Dad to get home to start it up and he's disgruntled, I want to be prayed up. Fed up. Not fed up with church, but fed up with the Lord. I want to be ready to go. When I see Ben, I want to stick my hand down and say, God bless you, brother. And he says, wow, I felt something there. You ever notice that you can shake certain people's hands and you can feel presence? I believe we can have that. Amen? I believe we can have that to where we can ourselves can be a Holy Ghost packing unit. Right? You got these things called jump boxes now. They didn't have that when I was little. What we'd have to do, we'd have to go get a truck and pull a truck over there and get the jumper cables out and we would start that up. Well, now we got a little jump box. And as long as you keep that thing charged up, you can take that jump box over there and a dead old dead car, you pull the cables off of that, put it on that battery and hit start and boom! You know why? That thing had power inside of it. That little jump box may not look good. It may look just as powerless as can be, but I'm telling you what, it had power on the inside. It had something inside it to bring life to something. And that's what we can have, friends, is by serving one another, being prayed and filled up with the Holy Ghost, we can be ready where we can come in contact with somebody that's dead in their experience. We can bring life to them, amen. Because we got the power inside us. We got the life on the inside of us. Serving one another. When we have a heart of service, a heart that's ready to serve one another, we're going to have a stronger body. You know, if I quit serving as a heart, and say I'm a heart, and I say, you know what? I ain't doing it. I ain't pumping one more drop of blood. I never get talked about. I'm never in the front. I never get these things. I do all the work around here. I ain't doing it no more. You know, eventually, he's going to die too. Is that right? Many times we say, you know what? I've got a gift of singing. Or I've got a gift of this. I've got a gift of that. I've got a gift. We all have gifts of what we can do in our lives. And if we use it in the right way, God will bless us. Elvis Presley had a gift. He used it the wrong way.
Right.
We all have gifts. You have certain the people that will have an ability to grab the attention of everybody. They can go into a room and they go into that room with everybody else and they can start talking just a few minutes and everybody will pull their chairs around. They've got a natural gift about them. Just something about them. You can use that for the right thing and be blessed, or you can use it for the wrong thing like Elvis Presley did. Do you know Elvis Presley had a genuine gift? He could play that music in such a way, though they say that he would, after the concerts, would go back home and play Amazing Grace on the piano all night long, crying and weeping because he sold out his gift. Elvis Presley had a gift, but he used it for the wrong thing. We've got gifts inside us. You know what? We ask ourselves a lot of times, why am I here? Am I here just to come to church, just to go to school, go to college, get married and die? Is that really what we're here for? Or are we here to serve one another? To where we can see my position in the Lord. I may be just a heart, but I'm going to be the best heart I can be. I may be just a kidney. I'm going to be the most polished up kidney you've ever seen. You ever seen a polished up kidney? I ain't either. But I'm going to be that. I'm going to strive for that. Because that's my position. Amen? I'm going to contend for the faith. I'm going to contend to be a servant, a heart of service. Jesus got down, the most powerful man on the world. Would you agree with that? Jesus, the greatest man on earth. Jesus had these disciples, and Jesus got down on his hands and knees and began to wash their feet. Jesus got down and rubbed their feet. Now you think about what a servant. We're not talking about feet like we got now. Now my boys have got some bad feet. But these are even worse. They walked in sandals. And they'd go down these trails where mules have walked and different things. And you can just imagine what all you step in. And they're filthy. They are dirty. They are nasty. They didn't have Nike tennis shoes. They had sandals on. But Jesus, he didn't say, you know what? Your feet are too dirty for me. I'm not going to do that for you. No, Jesus got down on his hands and knees and began to serve them. He showed us, he said, if you want to do well, you do like I've done. It's one thing to serve when it's sunshine. I'm full of energy. I'm not tired. I slept really well last night. My health is at top notch. And they need a jump start. And it's sunshining. I'm going to open my trunk because everything is already prepared. Pull my jump box out and jump their vehicle, and everything is so well and no sacrifice at all. Now, how many could do that if that's pretty easy? But how about when it's raining? You ain't slept. You've got maybe 2 hours of sleep the night before. You've got a headache if you've been fighting for 3 days. Sniffles, you've been fighting for 3 days. All these different problems. And they need help changing their flat. It's pouring down raining. Sacrifice. Can you say amen? Let's just be real. Let's take our halos off and put them in our back pockets. And we can pick them up at any service. It's easy to serve people when it's easy. It's easy to do a service when there's really no sacrifice. Now, if I've got $10,000 in my wallet, and this poor soul, let me give him $2. You know, they talk about that in the offering. This one little lady had 2 mites, I believe it was. Had 2 mites. And that's not very much. And she put that inside that offering plate. And they said she gave more than any of them. Because she gave the abundance. From the abundance of her heart, she gave it. Is that right? In our offerings toward one another, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about the life that we live, all right? When we give from the abundance of our heart, and we say, God, I give myself as an offering, as a living sacrifice, I'm giving myself. God, I'm offering myself. I remember, friends, and services, I didn't have any money to put in that offering plate at all. Did not. And I felt so bad. Every time that offering plate would come by, I would just groan on the inside because I wanted to give something. And you know what I do? I'd pray. I say, God, I can't give you any money in the offering plate, but what I can do, I can give you my prayer services. I want to give that to you, God, because I want to give an offering. I want to be an offering for you, offering for the congregation. I want to have a heart of service. And you know what? God would bless, and I really believe that's why many times I pray for people and see healings take place. Many times you see people that are struggling, praying, trying to get healings, they can never get over it. Like we said, well, go. You ever try praying for yourself and you can't get healed? I just wonder what that possibility would be, because the reason they're not getting healed is because they need your prayers to be healed. You be the one that has to reach them. If it's ordained for Malachi to touch this soul, I can try all I want to. I can try to do it. But if it's his job to do it, he's got to be the one that does it. Brother Brown talked about in the visions, he'd say in the vision, there'd be a certain hat at a certain place, and it'd be moved on a certain chair. He said, I could try to do all I wanted to. He said, but until that vision was in exact order of where it was, he said, nothing would happen. But when the hat was in the exact place, things went in action. You know what? Let's be ready for if I need to be the one that needs to pray for that person, I want to be ready to be that faithful supplier. Amen? I want to be ready. I want to be in that position. Brother Brenham talked one time. He'd have the prayer meetings. And they'd come up, and they'd, because the people had confidence in the ministry, because they'd seen that it was God in the ministry, okay? God, they would see it was God working the ministry. There was this child that was sick, and they were outside the building trying to get in. And this woman was sitting there. She's just a sister coming to church. And she seen this woman had this little baby, and this baby was so sick, trying to get in to let the prophet pray for her. And this little woman was sitting out there, and she felt a pull inside her heart to pray for that baby. And she was sitting there out there, and she just kept feeling a pull to pray, but she thought to herself, this woman is fixing to be prayed by the prophet. Why in the world would I pray for this baby? Why would I be the one? But she kept filling that pool, kept filling that pool. Many times we'll be at the doctor's office, we may be somewhere, and God will lay it on your heart to pray for somebody. That's God, friends. That woman kept filling it, I need to pray for this woman, I need to pray for this woman. And finally she spoke up. She says, "Ma'am, I know you're fixing to go talk to the prophet. I know you're fixing to go in, and I know he's fixing to pray for you." She says, "But I feel such a pull in my heart to pray for that baby. Would you mind if I did? I'm not trying to step over anything. I realize there's nothing in me." She said, "But would you mind if I pray for that baby?" And she says, "No, please pray for him." And she prayed for that little baby. And a little bit of time goes on, and that mother makes it up there with that baby, for the prophet to pray for that baby. And Brother Branham starts to pray, and he says, "Wait a minute. This baby's already healed. This baby was out here." He said, "That woman right over there, you had it on your heart to pray for this baby, and you prayed for it, and Jesus Christ healed that baby."
That's right.
That's the truth. It's right on tape. You can listen to it.
That's right.
That woman had a pull in her heart. What was it? She was in tune. She was prayed up. She was fed up by the Word. She was ready. She had a heart of service. She had something in here that says, "I want to serve the Lord. I just want to please the Lord. I'm here at the meeting because I want to be blessed." But she had such a heart of service. She was in tune with God. God told her to pray for the baby, and she prayed for that baby, and the baby got healed. Friends, what if you're the one that needs to pray for the baby? What if I'm the one that needs to pray for the baby? Amen? I know we're tired tonight, but I'm telling you what, I believe God's speaking to us tonight. Let's contend for a heart of service to where when I need to pray for somebody, I'm ready to step up and pray.
Amen?
Amen? When God lays it on my heart, I'm going to be ready to pray, and I'm going to... I know time's ticking. I've got just a couple more minutes, and he'll give me just a couple more minutes. That's at least 15 there. So, give me just a couple testimonies, okay? Don't let this pass. The Holy Spirit's here right now.
Amen.
Being prayed up and being filled up, God wants to use us, but we have steps that we have to do. We have to seek the Word. We have to seek God. Have you ever had the times when you lay in bed and God will lay it on your heart to get up and pray? Amen. And I've seen times when I got up and I prayed, and I've seen how that manifested throughout that day. And I needed that. And I've also seen times where God would lay it on my heart to pray and I neglected, and then I wished I did later on in the day. I remember one time I was on my way to work at Jensen Express. And I want you guys to listen to me now, especially young people. And my job at that job, it was not the most desirable job. It was a lube technician. I was going to keep the floors clean. I was going to service the vehicles. It wasn't the most desirable job. It wasn't a doctor job. It wasn't all this, but it was my job. And I was faithful to my post of duty. I made those floors shine. They were the prettiest floors anywhere, any lube shop you've ever seen, because it was mine. And I was faithful to my post of duty, and I was seeking the Lord. I was praying to God, and on my way to service that there to service, to work that morning. I was on my way to work, and the Lord spoke to me, just like I'm speaking to you, and told me, "I'm going to be praying for a woman today. You're going to be praying for a woman." And I knew I was. I don't know how I knew. And I go to work, I go about doing my job. I have to rub shoulders with the world, just like all of us do. And I'm doing this job, and I'm sitting in that quick lube, and I see an old vehicle coming through, doing my normal routine service. I see this woman or this old couple, old man in the driver's seat, old woman in the passenger seat, and a young girl in the back. And they pull inside the deal. Still don't know nothing. I'm going about doing my service, and I get in here, and I go to get the odometer, and I tell the Lord Jehovah, just like I'm telling you right now, this woman has had a stroke. I think so. Why would God tell me that? And I get out of the vehicle, and I'm at the computer, and I'm typing the VIN number, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I'm going to pray for this woman. I'm going to get her name, and I'm going to put her on our prayer list. And I pulled my card out of my wallet, and I said, "Well, you know, what's her name?" And I tell you what, the Lord told me, he said, "No, you pray for him right now." Many times, the Lord will lay it on our heart to pray for somebody right then. But we'll say, you know what, I'm not going to pray for them right now because there's too much going on, people around, and I'm not going to do that. I'll pray for them later. God said, pray for them right now.
I looked over at him. I said, sir, and he started talking to me about the insurance. He says, you know, my wife had a stroke. Myself, the Lord just told me that. He said, my wife has just had a stroke, and I don't know how we're going to pay for these bills because of the insurance and all these different things. I think to myself, oh, wow, this is really happening right now. And I said, sir, would you mind if I prayed for her? And he looked in down in the door, and he looked at her, and he says, honey, he said, this man, he wants to pray for you. He says, is that okay? He says, she ain't spoken over 5 months. Hadn't been able to get words out of her mouth. Over 5 months. I walk around the other side of the building, or the car, and I look down to her, and I said, sister, I said, do you believe Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And I said, you know, if you have any kind of hidden sins in your life, I said, that thing has a right to stay right there. I said, you feel like your heart's pure before God? I said, I, God has given me favor. I said, I am nothing. I said, but God answers my prayers. I said, I'm going to pray for you right now and ask God to heal you. And I bowed my head down and took the lady by the hand and began to pray through her. And I didn't say a lot of words. I said, Lord Jesus, you know, you laid it on my heart this morning. I was going to pray for this woman. I said, I ask you to heal her. Nothing dynamic, simple. I'm going to tell you something. The presence of God come down. And the Lord healed that woman right there. And she spoke with her mouth. And thank you. A woman that ain't spoken 5 months, over 5 months, spoke with her mouth. Thank you. You say, Brother Daniel, that's not because of me, it's because of him. And say, God wants to use you the same way. Scripture says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? These signs shall follow us. I believe we can have the signs. But we got to be filled up. We got to be fed up on the word. We got to be seeking God. We got to have a heart of service where we're ready to serve the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? I want to be used by the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Pray that that never comes to the point where we give testimonies that just like water on a duck's back. I'm telling you what, that's the power of God, friends. That's what I'm talking about. The friend that the devil will try really hard to brush it off where it comes so desensitized. Whereas how many times before would we listen to those prayer tapes and listen to those discernment lines and it bring just a stirring on the inside? The devil will work so hard where it'll be just like listening to anything else as background music. The prophet's messages. Friends, there was a time whenever people, and there still is, in Honduras, China, all these different places, they don't have that. They don't have the tapes of the message of the prophet speaking. They don't have it anymore. And every one they've got, I can show you pictures where brothers are all wrapped around one book. And that brother's holding the book out, and they're like, oh my goodness. Because it's so precious to them. One book. They're wrapped around that one book. See, we here in America, we are fighting this entertainment. We like to be entertained. Am I telling the truth tonight?
Right.
We like to be entertained. Our worst, one of the best things that we could use as far as online communications and work, I use this thing constantly at work, and it makes my life so much easier. So I don't have to go to computers. I can do it all from right here. But I'm going to tell you what, this right here, friends, has become one of the worst enemies we could ever have.
Yeah.
Those tablets, oh, it's amazing. You can do your homework on them. You can do all these things. But I'm telling you what, we better watch out because before too long, think we might need to get our shotgun out and stick that tablet out and blow a hole through it.
Right.
These things are good if it's used in the right way, but I'm telling you what, friends, if it starts getting to the point where this, our tablet, I don't care what it is, if it starts getting to the point where it's getting between prayer life, study life, it gets to the point where it starts affecting the services, it's time to put a bullet hole through it.
Right.
Am I just fanatic or am I telling you the truth?
That's true.
You know what? We need to seek God and come to the point when we come to the house of God. There's this guy in here needs to be fed. Amen. He needs to be fed, and it's our responsibility to get him fed. Our responsibility to make sure he's fed on the right thing. It's our responsibility. As young people, there's a point in your life where you can hold on to daddy's coattail and mama's coattail and hold and you're ready for the rapture. But friends, listen to me now. There's a time of accountability. Whenever we are not going to be able to hold on to that daddy's coattail no more, it's going to say, what did you do with the word? What did you do with the services? When the word was given to you, what did you do with the Holy Ghost?
But I'm with Daddy. What did you do with it? Amen? I say these things because I love you. We're going to rapture, and I believe everybody will. I just want to make it as smooth as possible. Amen?
I want to encourage our young people, seek to be used by the Lord. Seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Seek to be read up. Seek to open the Word and make this Word be alive to you. Don't ever let this thing be just like a book on the shelf. My wife tells me all the time, you're too long-winded. We do our Bible studies at home. She says, babe, she said, now we only got this much time. She says, you're too long-winded. I can't help it. It's alive. It's alive to me. Amen? But Tony, you know what I'm talking about, brother? It's alive to me. I see it. It's real. And I want you to have that same experience. I want you to be able to take this thing and say, boy, Brother Daniel, you're right. That's good. Give me another bite. Sweeten my mouth. Bring to a point. See, whenever you do it the right way, friends, when you even think about church, it'll bring a warmth, circulation through your belly. Because I'm going to the house of God again. Amen. See, we don't let the devil fill us up before we get here. And I'm not saying anyone is. Just understand what I'm saying. Because the devil will try to fill you up with junk food. And then when he brings the prime ribs and the steak, you're too full of cake. That's why that should always come to the end of the meal. We need that meat. Amen? Right. We need the meat. Strawberries are good. Chocolate-covered strawberries, you go to that... What's it called?
Copper Kettle.
I guess that's the name of it. You go there and you can have all that. You can have them chocolate-covered strawberries. You can have all those things. It's good. But I'm telling you what, there's no nutrition in that. We need the Word.
That's right.
We need the Word. And sometimes it's bitter. Brother Branham said sometimes, you know, you take that medicine, it's so sick. I remember when I was little, Tony, I was afraid to show sickness signs in front of my mom because I knew what was coming. She had this medicine in a bottle and she put that in my mouth and you ain't tasted nasty until you tasted that. It was nasty, I'm telling you, nasty. Bitter, I mean, I turned green. Not from the sickness, from the stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, it knocked it out. Next thing you know, I was right as rain. They got a lot of medicine today. It tastes just as sweet as, tastes like bubble gum, tastes like all that stuff, and you can take a whole bottle of it, seems like, and you're just as sick as you was before you ever took it.
Right.
If it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. That's what I'm saying. And I know many times a lot of these things I've said tonight, maybe it gets in your tater pads, maybe it does those things. I want you to remember, friends, I'm going to be held accountable one day. Your ministry is going to be held accountable one day, and we want to be saved, them say you were a faithful steward. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. I'm going to ask us to contend for a heart of service. Walking this walk, many times it does feel like you suffer because sometimes it feels like you're walking alone. Sometimes you want to be like the people around you. The children of Israel did the same thing. They wanted a king. They want to be like them around them. But I'm telling you what, this walk that we're walking, it's worth the sacrifice. Amen. I want to ask you, let's just bow our heads for just a moment. You know, I know I've touched on some things tonight. With every head bowed. You know, if the Lord's dealing with your heart on some of these things, and you say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I am going through some of that, and I really just need some help. I need some prayer. Would you just lift your hand up before the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help. God sees your hands. And I'm telling you what, you raising your hand up like that, that is your breaking gravity. And you saying, God, I want to walk closer to you. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord God, the hands that have come up across the building, God. Lord, and they say, Lord, I see you dealing with my heart in these ways, Lord, in these areas, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to move in their life, Lord. Let them be the head and not the tail, God. Lord Jesus, may they be the influence at the school or at the grocery store, wherever they're going, God. And Lord God, may they be used by you, Lord. Help them to follow the guide, Lord. Because Lord, you've given us a guide, Lord, to lead us and guide us, oh God. Help them to be in tune with him, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Father, walk the building right now and touch the hearts here tonight, Lord. Meet the needs in their life, oh God. You know what they're going through, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to give them an appetite for the Word of God, Lord, where, Lord, such a revival in their prayer life, a revival in their study life, oh God. And Lord Jesus, where you can move in their hearts, oh God. Lord, I ask you to make the Word of God alive to them each day, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you meet every need among us, Lord. I know we go through trials sometimes, Lord, and sometimes it seems like you go out one trial and you're into another, oh God. I ask you meet every need among us, Lord. Help us to not waste the pain. As Brother Tony says so many times, God, don't waste pain. Lord, the trials we're going through is for a purpose, Lord. Help us to see what it is you're moving in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Ask Brother Tony to come. I want to be used by him. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to see you used by the Lord. And I want to say it this way. This is the thought that just comes to my mind. It keeps so strong. Is we want to have your back. Something my brothers, me and my brothers used to be such good friends when we were growing up. It's something we'd always say is, I've got your back. No matter what you're going through, I've got your back. And I'm telling you what, the Word has got our back tonight. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Is that right? I'm telling a lot of truth tonight. I can be honest in saying that week after week I look for ways and I pray and I try to find from the Lord ways to say more, I guess the same thing, but say it in a different way so that it might take hold. And we'll find out that these things Brother Daniel talked about tonight, cell phones and all the things, we'll find out if you don't know now that they're a big problem.
Yes.
And I don't find anywhere in the scriptures where those things are going to provide us with salvation or with rapture or anything like that. So we just want to be careful. Be careful by what we're influenced by. We all influence each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? You know, I don't know if you know this, but science says that everything that has mass has gravity. You know, we always think about, well, the earth pulls us down because it's got gravity, but we have gravity.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you could measure it, there's actually a pull between me and Brother Daniel, but between me and each of you and each one of you. And, of course, the further you get away, that gravity gets less, but the closer you get, the more that gravity is. And it's such a minute part. It's not like when we get real close to each other, we just slam against each other. It's not like that. But nevertheless, it's there because all things affect everything else.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to get at. And so, but you know, when you're close to someone, you know, you get close to them, sometimes you just want to give them a hug.
Yeah.
You know, you hug your family members, your children, your mom, dad. You know, you love them because you're close, and there's a heavy pull between us. It's a relationship of love because they're your parents or your children or your brothers and sisters in church. There's a spiritual gravitational pull there. And so we like to spend time with each other, and those things are there because we influence each other. And so I want to be influenced by godly things,
yeah,
not ungodly things. So we certainly want to do that. And Brother Daniel was talking about the tutor, talking about the guide, and the guide is responsible. He mentioned that. The guide's responsible. But you know what? You got to obey the guide.
That's right.
He cannot be responsible for you if you constantly do everything he tells you not to do.
Mm-hmm.
See? But if you'll listen to him, he's got your back.
Amen.
And take care of it as he's trained to do so. So we, nice way of saying it, we just really need to surrender to the Lord and just seek him on how to be used by him. I was just witnessing to a fellow today, you know, and I said, this world, maybe it was yesterday, but I said, this world, they have taken the power of the gospel, they've taken the power out of it. They've watered it down so that there's no deliverance anymore. They don't get any deliverance, they don't have any way of being set free from anything, and they teach that that's the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it is. We don't want to water down it, the truth. We want to tell it just like it is so that it's got strength to it, got enough bite in it to get something done. And so we certainly want to be an influence. I want to be used of the Lord.
Yes.
I want to be at times where the Lord will speak to me and on somebody's behalf. I just did a couple of days ago, or might have been last week, I have a man that works for me. He's from somewhere overseas. I never can remember what city or country he's from, but he's kind of like Vietnamese or something like that. He's probably Buddhist, probably, but he's been passing blood, and he's scheduled to go next Tuesday for a procedure for them to look inside his intestines and so forth. And he'd been passing blood, and he was telling me about it, and he's all worried about it. And you know what? Last week, when he was telling me about that, I felt the surge of the Holy Spirit. And I just looked at him and I said, "You are going to be fine."
Amen.
And, you know, God wants, you know, to do that, because you know what? When he goes there next Tuesday and they go in there and they come back and say, "There ain't nothing there, there's nothing wrong," he's going to come, he's going to remember what I told him. You know what I'm saying? And I've talked to him about the Lord before. So my point is if we're always close in tune with the Spirit and he can move and say and speak anytime he wants to, he can save the world by somebody that's obedient. Remember Brother Ram said, all it takes is one man in the hand of God.
Yep.
And he can change everything. And so that's certainly what we want to do. Amen. Let's just sing "I Love Him" just for a moment as we get ready to go. If you like what you heard tonight.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to say, "Oh me." But it's true. We're not finished with this race yet. We're getting real close.
Oh, I love him. Burn.